Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today. Well, not quite on assignment while he suffers technical difficulties. See, a bunch of saboteurs hacked into the grid and disabled Alan's internet. Or either that, or it's just kind of fuzzy today for whatever the hell reason or other. I don't know, he had a severe storm blow through his area the other day. Maybe a tree branch finally fell somewhere. Anyway, if Alan were here with us today, he would give to you the show's mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. The Alan Nathan Show comes to you courtesy these days of the Main Street Radio Network. I say these days because, well, Alan is the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist talk host in the country. Been around since June of 1998. Been on the airwaves since then. And the Main Street Radio Network, meanwhile, since 2010, March. You can see that there's a little disparity there between when one started and when the other started. And during that time, Alan was on his own as far as handling keeping the show on the air, but happy to have this partnership with the Main Street Radio Network to take care of that for us. Anyway, you can show them some gratitude as well at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Find out more about the Alan Nathan Show there. Find out about the Silker Joe Show up there. Find podcasts for both those shows, mainstreetradionetwork.com. And you can also find Alan at alannathan.com. Yes, he has his own website, and it's a glorious website. It has all sorts of goodies on there, including articles and columns that he's written in the past. So if you want to read some of his writings, perhaps you miss his voice on the airwaves today, and you just need something that's in his voice, whether it's actual audio or it's written in his voice, you can find his columns at alannathan.com. He's also on social media, though, on X at Alan Nathan, but posting under Main Street Radio Network's pages on Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, and Twitter at Main Street Radio. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network, though, for distributing this show. And if you all want to... I was about to say something. My automatic transition failed right there, so my car just crashed, verbally speaking. Anyway, at this point, Alan would give to you his pre-written topics that are on those social media outlets. I got mine right here. Media and Democrats gaslight on no King's numbers and anti-ICE riots as polls, plus a New York Times report on near bankrupt the DNC, tell the story. Also, Iran launches intermediate ballistic missiles against Israel to no effect. Is this a sign of escalation or desperation? Well, I would assume desperation because... they don't need an intermediate range missile to get to Israel. Israel's right there. Like the intermediate ballistic missiles, that's the kind of stuff that we would load a nuclear warhead on and launch. We had them all stationed throughout Europe, for example, during the Cold War. Probably still have some stationed there as well, pointed at Russia. So that's what intermediate ballistic missiles are really for. And the Israeli Defense Forces, they managed to shoot them down. According to the Israelis, the only effect they had was some debris landed on someone's car or something, and that was all that these missiles had done as far as damage goes. So why would the Iranians whip it out? And the Iranians try to make it sound like they're this unstoppable force or threat or whatever with these missiles, but of course they're going to say that. All they have left is to say a lot of things rather than actually do. So why would they whip them out, though, unless they were running out of other types of missiles? But I do have a question, though. Chinese aircraft had been spotted, cargo planes coming in. What were they carrying? Were they carrying replacement missiles? Were they carrying ballistic missiles? And the Israelis as well, how much more can they keep up this onslaught? I mean, it ain't like frickin' Star Trek or something where they're shooting lasers. They have ammunition. They have missiles that they're shooting to shoot down the missiles. How much more of that can they take, and how long before the U.S. has to resupply them, because we have been a big supplier of them? I mean, you hear about the Iron Dome defense. That's basically anti-missile missiles that they're shooting. So we're not quite at the point yet where we can reliably point lasers at a missile and blow it up in the sky. I mean, we have weapons that will do that. We have lasers that can do that, but I don't think they're quite ready for prime time yet. They're still in the testing phases, and they're not the what you would rely on as the still source of offense and defense there. So Israelis, how much longer can they handle being bombarded with their defense systems, and how much longer can the Iranians keep going with theirs? And like I said, I suspect that China might have just resupplied them. And in that case, if China's involved resupplying them, we got to get involved resupplying Israel, because that's how proxy wars like this work. And China's really been on the tear recently. They did a cyber attack on Russia, of all people. I mean, that China's little buddy North Korea sent troops to help Russia and Ukraine, and now China's doing cyber attacks on Russia? What caused that split to happen? So it's something to watch for. China vying for power now in the Middle East, trying to help Iran out, trying to steal one of Russia's stalwart allies right out from under their noses after launching a cyber attack on Russia. So China's asserting its authority worldwide now as well. Makes you wonder, though, if they're supplying Iran, how much are they going to have left for themselves when it comes to invading Taiwan, or have they just shifted focus and just trying to get a new oil-rich ally? Or a foothold in the oil-rich Middle East. So their motives are up for question at this time as to why they would get involved, and it's still up for question as to how long the U.S. will get involved. Actually, you know, I'm starting to wonder, maybe the Iranian Supreme Leader the other day said that we would see something that would echo through history or whatever that Iran would do that night. And if I get my chronology right here, that's when they started launching these intermediate range ballistic missiles, but they ended up being duds. So for those of you worried about the threat that came out, well, it was a dud. And Trump has issued his own threat. He said we might get involved at some point. Now, there's a lot of backlash against that idea. Why the hell would we get involved in a war with Iran? And all these ideas of wars of regime change and crap like that, they hadn't worked out in the last 20 years, have they? Getting involved in Iraq, the regime change there that we did. In Afghanistan, the regime change we did there. Libya, the regime change we did there. You know, we're crossing Democrat and Republican presidents here. All had the same outcome, just more chaos in the region, not less, and Iran boosting its influence, like with Iraq, for example. So, and then the Taliban taking over Afghanistan, whoever they're going to be siding with. But as if they really need Iran for support, because they have a couple $1 billion worth of American military equipment that we left for them so kindly, and including a computer that was open to our secure networks with the passwords plugged in already, right for the Taliban to take and hack into our networks. Fortunately, nothing came of that we're aware of, but who knows? I mean, that government hides a lot of stuff. Did you know, for example, that in 2020, the most secure election in history, both Iran and China, for that matter, were involved with trying to hack the election? And that's actually what Alan would have talked about today if he had been hosting the show. It turns out the FBI, Christopher Wray, the Democrat FBI director, he would have buried that. He was burying that stuff. He didn't want anyone to know that Iran and China had been going into the elections. In fact, the Gateway Pundit, the news outlet, they had video of China printing a bunch of blank ballots. And they had other means of trying to interfere in the 2020 election. And the FBI director didn't want anyone to know about it. Didn't want anyone to. Why would he do that? Why would you try and bury something like that from the public and send your little minions out there to say it was the most secure election in history? Dude was a partisan hack, and Trump was played when he nominated Ray, just like Trump was played when he nominated Amy Coney Barrett, a Supreme Court justice, who has lately sided 82% of the time with left-wing justices against Donald Trump. Trump seems to have learned a little bit of his lesson anyway about picking who he's going to be advised by and which right-wingers and rhinos and neocons to listen to and which to ignore. So Trump's doing better. Maybe we'll see him do better with Iran, because you have one side, like the Lindsey Graham wing of the party, that just wants war. They don't care. They just want war with Iran, anything to keep the weapons manufacturers in business. Because, well, Ukraine, they're a losing investment at this point. You could keep the war going with arms alone, sure, but Ukraine clearly can't pay anyone back. And Ukraine doesn't really have the manpower to keep a perpetual war going. So you got to open up a new market. And the arms industry wants that Iran war to be the new market. But Trump seems hesitant about that. We'll see how this goes. More Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O'Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey! Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show, everybody. Soaker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today while he is fighting his internet. But we are joined for this segment by Dr. Steve Camerata. He is Director of Research at the Center for Immigration Studies. In recent years, Dr. Camerata has testified before Congress more than any other non-government expert on the economic and fiscal impact of immigration. Dr. Camerata, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Thanks for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So the Center for Immigration Studies, you have some new research data here based on government statistics here about the illegal immigration population being down an estimated 1 million since January.
That's right. The government collects data every month, mainly to determine the unemployment rate. It's called the household survey. Technically, it's actually the current population survey. But the bottom line is they ask people whether they're foreign, when did they come to America, what country they're from. And we can use that data to get some idea of trends in the total immigrant or foreign-born population in the United States. And then we can actually subtract what we think are the legal immigrants in the data and look at trends for, what's likely happened with the illegal immigrants. I'll give you one example. We know that illegal immigrants, the illegal immigrant population, is highly correlated with the number of immigrants who said they came to America in 1980 or later and are not U.S. citizens and are from Latin America. And we see a huge decline in that population just in the last 5 months. Now, your listeners might say, yeah, but do illegal immigrants really respond to this survey? Well, let me tell you, between January 1st that survey done then, to January of this year, that same survey done, it shows a massive increase in number of people who I just described from Latin America who are not citizens, who are relatively recent arrivals. The survey most definitely picks up illegal immigrants, and so we can use that to begin to estimate the population. Now, it's true some are missed, and you could debate, is that number 1 million or 5 million, or maybe even 10, you think. But it doesn't really matter when you're just trying to look at trends, and those trends show it's down by about a million just in the 5 months. That number comes with one key caveat. It's possible that while illegal immigrants all along, when we weren't really enforcing the law, were willing to identify and take part in the survey. Now they're not. Now they're saying they're U.S. born. And so we can't, or maybe they're just not responding. It doesn't look like that's what's happening, and I could explain why in the data. But the bottom line is it's the evidence is pretty compelling that something fundamentally has changed in the best data that we do have on this topic.
Well, one other indicator might be blue-collar wages and how those had been pretty much flatlined during the point of all this immigration coming in unrestricted. But now Treasury Secretary comes out and says they're on the rise as all this immigration enforcement is coming in. I mean, that could just be attributable to Trump being so great with the economy, but it could be attributable as well to non-citizens leaving the labor pool.
That's right. That's exactly the kind of trend we might expect. So I think that's another little nugget. That's another piece of the pie. Now, remember, wages do fluctuate, and there is error in all of this data. So you don't want to say absolutely, I'm certain, definitive, case closed. But the rise in wages, just like the fall off in the population of illegal immigrants, as best we can tell in the data, is an indication something has fundamentally changed. And it almost certainly is the stepped-up enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're seeing the stepped-up enforcement is actually quite popular with the American population, too. Repeatedly polls before and after the rioting going on over enforcement have shown, yes, the American people are in favor of this enforcement, regardless of what protesters in the street or judges might have you think.
I think the public was highly dissatisfied with the sense that the immigration laws are not enforced. I think the public sense something's wrong, that immigration can be a positive, but there's just too much, and it's uncontrolled. As an aside, this same data indicated in January of this year that the share of the population that's foreign-born, that is, people who are not U.S. citizens at birth, that's legal, illegal, naturalized citizens, that sort of thing, all together, foreign students, guest workers, was well over 53 million. And obviously that's a record high. But as a share of the U.S. population, it also had blown past all prior records. The prior records were actually sent in 1890 and 1910, but then less than 15% of the population in the census done back then were foreign-born individuals. But now it's hitting about 16%. So we're actually in uncharted territory. And the growth during the Biden administration in this data was unbelievable. Now, again, some fraction are missed. But what we do know is something has fundamentally changed on the ground, and it almost certainly is related to stepped-up enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And this enforcement, no new laws were passed. It's not like the Republican Congress suddenly passed all sorts of new regulations that allowed it. But we've been hearing for years the Biden administration saying, you know, first they weren't going to do it, there was no problem at all, but then saying, well, we can't do anything because Congress needs to pass new laws. But this seems to have put to bed that myth.
Absolutely. One leading voters wrote in the New York Times in 2023, the headline was, Biden can't stop immigration, time to embrace it. In 2024, NPR is short as this, look, despite a highly fortified border, migrants will keep coming. But all of that was ridiculous. The assertion that immigration is an unstoppable force of nature was always ridiculous on its face. The Biden administration's decision to end the agreements with Mexico, to end the agreements with Central America, to not use expedited removal, to use the parole power in a way heretofore unknown and parole at least 3 million people into the country, and so forth. The reason so many people showed up at the border was policy, not underlying conditions in their home country. Yes, they were poor, but they were poor before Biden took office. And yes, the United States has much higher wages, but it had much higher wages before Biden took office. It was clearly all related to policy and not even legislation. It was related specifically to the Biden administration policies, the ones I've mentioned and others. We know that border apprehension is down 93% since the president took off, well, year over year, if you look at the latest data. And so the idea that immigration is uncontrollable and that is absurd, as I said, and the current evidence overwhelmingly supports that idea.
Yeah, and also the idea that all these countries are so terrible to be in that these people want to come here and need to come here or whatever, when you have them going back home to those countries under the Trump administration of their own free will, when supposedly they might be in danger in those countries, well, that also kind of indicates that they were overstating the case with that as well.
Right. So, look, everybody agrees that life in general for the common person, and especially the people who don't have a lot of education and privilege in those other countries, is better here than there. But the bottom line is, that is not mean that they were all starving. It doesn't mean they were politically persecuted. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is, with enforcement, lots of folks are going to go back.
All right. Well, Dr. Steve Camerota, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show today. Real quick, we got like 10 seconds left here. Where can our listeners find out more about this data from the Center for Immigration Studies?
All of our stuff is free at our website, cis.org, just like Center for Immigration Studies abbreviated, cis.org.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We are done with this segment. We have more Al Nathan Show after this break.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit easyhomemeals.com. That's easyhomemeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe filling in for Alan today. Wow, he is struggling against his connection, his little studio that he uses. Some saboteur stuck a wrench in the system. a big old monkey wrench in the system, clogged the gears, there were explosions. You probably saw it on the news, actually. If you were anywhere within a 10-kilometer radius, you would have heard about it through the air and felt the blast shatter your windows. Alan's fighting that to get back online. He should be back with you all tomorrow because he's just that terrific. But in the meantime, let's get on to the first topic here that I have listed that should be out on social media. Media and Democrats gaslight on No King's numbers and anti-ICE riots as polls plus a New York Times report on the near-bankrupt DNC tell the real story. I've got to find a better way to phrase that. Good Lord, that's a very clunky phrasing here. Media and Dems gaslight on No King's numbers and anti-ICE riots as polls plus a New York Times report on the near-bankrupt DNC tell the real story. Maybe a comma there. Yeah, I think a comma in there would help. There we go. Got a comma in there. Anyway, so what am I talking about with all this gobbledygook? Well, over the past weekend, there was those big old No Kings protests. You saw them on the news. Nationwide uprising, backlash against Trump, blah, blah, blah. The sort of words that they don't use when it's Republicans doing it, in which case they would instead say racism and white supremacists and extremism on display, etc. But no, when you have rioters attacking ICE agents, that's perfectly acceptable. But when you have people peacefully marching, protesting, maybe they think the election is stolen, now they're racist, white supremacists, whatever. Anyway, actually, well, Democrats think the election is stolen now, and that's perfectly okay for them to say such things. A surprising number of Democrats think the election was stolen. Well, surprising after 4 years of saying that you're an extremist, a capital overthrower, insurrectionist, if you think the election was stolen. Actually, before that, though, the narrative was if you thought the 2016 election was stolen, you were right. Hillary Clinton even said that one was stolen. In fact, there was a poll in 2017. It was either 57 or 59% of Democrats said that the election was stolen by Russia actually altering the vote counts. Not by just, misinformation or whatever. No, Russia actually getting into the computer systems and altering the vote counts. That's what they said. More than half of Democrats said in 2017 changed the 2016 election. So, yep, that's where Democrats stand on issues like that and the hypocrisy. Well, not hypocrisy. I keep saying it's not hypocrisy because their main objective is to win, and they'll say or do anything to get to that objective, including painting the opposition as bad for doing what they themselves regularly do. Anyway, with these, another thing that they're doing is painting these No Kings riots and protests as being bigger than they actually are. If you look at them, they can't even get single-digit numbers of their own supporters out there. Okay, like Utah, for example, Salt Lake City, they had 10,000 people protesting, and they're trying to say that that's a huge number, but if you look at that compared to the number of people in Salt Lake City who voted for Kamala Harris, over 273,000, and they can only get 10,000 of them to show up for a protest, that's like 2.77% of Kamala Harris voters that they managed to turn out for this big, significant, important No Kings protest that they were hyping for months. They had over 200, as reported by, well, slightly less than 200, but as reported by Zero Hedge, slightly less than 200 left-wing NGOs were involved in organizing these protests, and they've been working at it for months. I must have mentioned it before in the beginning of May on either this or the Silk or Joe show that they had been planning for this for so long, and yet they can only get 2.77% of Kamala Harris voters to turn out on a Saturday. It's not like they're working, even on a weekday, it's not like they're working, let's be honest here. They're either trust fund babies or college students or so high up in the white-collar industries that they can easily take a day off to go for a protest. But this was on a Saturday to make it even easier for them. And they still could only get single-digit representation? Wow. And you look at, and that's just how the pattern is across the country. So, you know, they can show you all the big pictures of crowds that they want to. They still didn't get that many people, even locally. I mean, it was a bigger achievement. I was at a Stop the Steal protest in Washington, D.C. that had over 10,000 people. And getting that number This is not January 6th, by the way. This is like a week or two after the 2020 election. But to get that many people in D.C. was a stupendous achievement, given how few Republicans there are in D.C., let alone how few would actually vote for Trump or believe that the election was stolen. Okay, that was a big achievement. Those were big numbers, relatively speaking, statistically speaking, given the area, given the timing, also during COVID, mind you. So all those factors put together, that made that those numbers big. But 10,000 right after they lose the 2024 election, they could only get 2.77% of the city's voter, Kamala Harris voters, out there. Not of the state, not of nationwide voters, but of just voters in that area alone. And the numbers are just as bad anywhere else. I mean, in my local area, they said the largest protest was 4,000. The largest protest they got around here was 4,000 people turning out. And they tried to paint that as a huge win. But here's the problem. That was like 3.5% of the local Kamala Harris voters that turned out. So they are overinflating these numbers severely. And they're trying to say that these represent the people. And that's the point of it. Just like with the anti-ICE riots, they're trying to create a media sensation, a media circus for the public to try and show, tell them, look at the, here's a picture of all these protesters and look at these numbers. Thousands of them, 4,000 here, 10,000 over there, 20,000 over there. Those must be significant numbers. But then, no, they're not. Single digit percentage of Kamala Harris supporters that are coming out. And just like with the ICE riots, anti-ICE riots, I mean, who knows how much percentage of the illegal immigrant population is involved, mind you. But as far as actual rioters go that are American citizens, it's not that many compared to how many people there are in Los Angeles who are Democrats. You're talking about millions of Democrats, yet they can only get a few thousand people to show up for the protests. That's pretty pathetic, pretty weeny of them, honestly. So that's all they have to work with, though. Those are the numbers. And it worked so well back in 2020 to gaslight the population, too, to make you think Black Lives Matter was such a big movement when the numbers were similar. And the corporations jumped onto it, but that support is dying down. We're seeing that with how unpopular Juneteenth and Pride celebrations are this year. Everyone's backing down from corporate activism. So that's all falling, and the left is just trying to repeat their 2020 playbook. Show some protests, show massive riots, and try and pretend that these actually represent the population. And maybe the polling data is a bit more honest, too. If not, then boy, is it really a bad picture for Democrats, right? Because there were polls right before the anti-ICE riots that showed a majority of the population favored Trump's support and favored ICE raids. Then after the ICE riots, a majority of the population not only still supported the ICE raids, but they also supported deploying the National Guard to stop the riots. And you gotta figure, if those are honest poll numbers, well, that's great. But if those are the dishonest poll numbers, if those are rigged poll numbers, and they're still showing such high percentages, what's the actual number look like? No wonder they can only get single-digit percentages of the population to turn out for their protests. And you gotta imagine the polls were similarly cooked back in 2020, but that's a different story. I digress. The point is, though, that another issue that we can look at to paint how much support Democrats don't have is what the New York Times was reporting on, the near-bankrupt DNC. The New York Times, according to them, the Democratic National Committee, they're actually looking at possibly taking out loans this year to maintain their funding. Why would they do that? If they were as popular as they claim, if they were so popular that they have all these thousands of people protesting Trump, if they're so popular they have riots on behalf of their policies, well then, certainly they wouldn't be in a funding crisis, would they? Because all those people, I'd imagine, would be putting their money where their mouth is and donating to the Democrats to stand up for their rights. Instead, they're not. Not in the numbers that they want you to think exist. Because this is all just gaslighting again. They're trying to make you think that single-digit percentages of the local population's protesting, not even just of the local population, single-digit percentages of the local Democrats, not even all Democrats either, single-digit percentages of the local Democrat voters protesting. You know, the category keeps getting smaller and smaller that they still have small numbers from. They're trying to make you think that that's a national movement because they're out of national momentum here. They're done. Look at the funding crisis that they're in. They wouldn't be in that if they were as popular as they want you to think they are with these protests. And they're trying to repeat their 2020 playbook of trying to look bigger than they are, because they're hoping that will convince people that they are bigger than they are, and maybe convince donors to come back to the party, or convince new donors to come in. More Al and Nathan Show after this break.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map, because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where The General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched 2 new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something
it's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show, wrapping up the Al Nathan Show's this hour for you. And we are joined for this last segment by Kenneth Abramowitz. He is founder of SaveTheWest.com, a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. He is also author of The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. Kenneth Abramowitz, happy on the show. How are you today?
You with you.
All right, glad to have you. So, what do you make of, speaking of things that America needs to be defended from, this conflict with Iran? To what extent should we really be involved in it?
Well, this is one of those things you can argue either way. I would argue that America should be involved because Iran has promised to kill everyone in America and everyone in Israel. Death to America, death to Israel. So I think America should be involved. But the Israelis are doing a masterful job, unheard of in the history of warfare. They're basically going to destroy Iran within 10 days. Whoever thought that you could destroy another country 10 times larger than you are in 10 days with no boots on the ground? It's just astounding. So you could argue Israel's doing such a good job, just keep supplying them with the weapons and let them do the job. America couldn't even do better.
Yeah, about the only question is about the Fordham nuclear site that Iran has. And because of the underground nature of it, Israeli bombs might not be able to penetrate enough. But, I mean, would it be possible for the U.S. to just help with that and that is the only involvement? Or at that point, if we do that, are we just in it up to our ears then?
Well, I think this is going to be a 10-day war. We're not talking about a 10-year war. We're talking about a 10-day war. And I think if I were the president, I would join for 2 days and just blow up Fordo. Send my big bombers, drop my big bombs, blow up Fordo, and take credit for it when the whole thing blows up and it's on the front page of every newspaper and you say, and I did that. Or you can let Israel take its smaller bombs and blow it up. Instead of 2 days, maybe it'll take 5 days, and then Israel gets all the credit. I have the feeling that President Trump wants to get some of the credit. He doesn't want to just supply the weapons and have Israel pounding its chest and saying, I did it. But it's one of those things you could argue either way.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the international community goes, well, I mean, we know Russia backs Iran, but we've seen Chinese planes flying into Iran, so they must have some involvement with this. So certainly if the U.S. bombs the single area, it's not like it's, you know, us getting involved when no other nations are.
No, you're right. I mean, we're not going to be fighting the Chinese or the Russians or anybody else. It's just us, our planes, blowing up Fordo in order to make sure they don't have nuclear weapons that can reach America on their long-range ballistic missile systems. So we would be doing it to save America. We're not doing it to help Israel. Now, secondly, we would be doing it to send a message to the Iranian people that we are with you. We seek regime change, which we have not publicly called for, by the way, and it would encourage regime change when the Iranians see both Israel and America joining forces to blow up Fordo, and it'll accelerate the demise of the evil government in Iran.
And what would then the replacement end up looking like? Is there, we've talked with on the show before, I've talked with people who seem ready to go, but like, is the Iranian population, you know, what would their reaction be?
Well, I'm told from what I read on the internet is that 80% of the population loves America, loves Israel, and 20% are connected to the old regime. So we're liberating basically 80% of the people from what I call an Islamo-Nazi death cult. So they would be unusually appreciative, and I think we're going to. I think in a week or two, they'll after the government is blown up, there'll be around 10 different groups who will say, "I want to lead." The former son of the Shah has said that he's willing to head a transitional government for a year until everyone comes to an agreement of what the new government should look like. So I think America, CIA behind the scenes, is working on putting together a new government.
Now, Iran, the current regime, unless they're all killed, they're not going to go down without a fight. They have all sorts of things at their command, cyber attacks they could launch on the U.S., for example. Even if they can't reach us with their nukes or missiles, they can reach us with the Internet. And there's all sorts of terrorist networks that they still would have authority over, and I can only imagine those terrorist networks wouldn't want to lose their money from the Iranian regime. So what sort of chaos could we possibly see if it looks like definitely this regime is going to collapse?
It's a very good point. I'm sure they'll try to create chaos through the ways that you just mentioned, either through terrorists that came through the open border during the Biden administration or cyber. And so that's a big worry. But hopefully they'll all be dead and they won't be able to issue orders. But your point's well taken. Whoever's living, whoever can give an order, will try to kill as many Americans or Europeans, obviously Israelis, as they can on their last few days.
So I guess with that known, America's already involved in the war, whether we like it or not, regardless of what people say, oh, you're being a neocon or whatever with wanting us to get into that war. We already have a problem here that's directly affected by the war.
Well, America supplies Israel with 2/3 of its weapons and all of its airplanes. So America is indirectly involved in the war, but Israel pilots are doing the heavy lifting. And also the Israeli Mossad, the equivalent of the CIA, agents who are working on the ground. So, and President Trump even made a statement a couple of days ago, how come I don't get any credit for this victory, this near victory? You know, Israel's getting all the credit. I want some of the credit. So, you know, human egos being human egos, you can see he has a desire in his mind to attack Fordo. On the other hand, other people will tell them, let Israel do it. They're doing a great job. We're not needed. And again, as I said, it's one of those things you can argue either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kenneth Branham, we only have a few seconds. We only have less than a minute left here of the segment. So I'm just going to have another question just to ask you about SaveTheWest.com.
Yes, SaveTheWest.com is a public service website. I set it up 10 years ago. Everyone should sign up. And they'll get my article every 2 weeks on how to save Western civilization.
All right. Appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. And again, listeners, the website is SaveTheWest.com. Our websites, though, are AlanNathan.com and MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Don't forget our social media pages as well, Facebook and Wimpkin at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, and at Alan Nathan. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.